Let me pray. Father, thanks for this time this morning, for all that we can celebrate, for all that you've given us. And we pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds in a way that they've never been opened before, so that we can really understand what you are on about and how we fit into all of that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if in your life you have ever received an inheritance, but usually it's a mixed blessing, isn't it? In that sense that there is only an inheritance come because someone has died. But it's mixed blessing in the sense that the fact that you've received that inheritance is a knowledge that that person had you in mind and wanted you to have whatever that might be, that inheritance and the like. Sometimes inheritances go pretty sour, don't they? The whole process anyway, it's said, where there's a will, there's a way to fight about it. too often that sort of thing happens. I'm keenly aware of one recently. Friends in Sydney who run a church down there, there was a guy in the community who never came to church, never, had no interest in church, never wanted to come. He was on his deathbed, and his family had already begun to start to fight over who would be getting what when he died. Now, this would just be a terrible experience, wouldn't it? So he said, right, I'll show them. Rang up his solicitor, said, come in. I want to leave everything I've got to the church down the road. And suddenly, my friend, who's the minister there, gets a phone call after this guy dies and says, you've got a $400,000 check coming for ministry. And it's from this guy that you don't know and nobody. So what an experience. But inheritances can be great, but also a little bit of a mixed blessing. In Numbers, Numbers is all about the inheritance that God promises his people. Now, in Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus, the word inheritance comes up about 6 times. In Numbers, it comes up about 36 times. Every single chapter, it's talking about this inheritance that God has for his people. And in particular, the inheritance is the promised land. The land that we might refer to broadly as Israel today. And that's why we had that reading from chapter 34, which talked about all the boundaries and things like that and the like. Now, this book of Numbers, as we've been going through it, is really the story of 2 generations of Israelites. One and their attitude to and their response to the promised land, God's promise of this land flowing with milk and honey. And at every point along the way, every step they take, they are challenged. Will they have faith in the promise that God has made and walk towards the promised land? Or will they, although they still call themselves the people of God, walk in the opposite direction by fear? There is their great choice and opportunity. Will they walk by faith towards the promised land, or will they walk hard-hearted in fear back towards Egypt? Well, all of this last 10 chapters or so of Numbers, all of it starts thinking about all these matters concerning the land. So one of them is, who will lead them into the land? Because Moses isn't. So there is someone chosen, and that person chosen to lead them into the land's name is Joshua. Because Joshua was one of the 12 spies that went into the land, and him and his mate Caleb were the only 2 who came back and saying, we can do it, we can do it, we can head into the land. The rest said no, the people listened to the rest. Therefore, the rest of them died, except for Joshua and Caleb, and Joshua leads them into the promised land. Well, it also talks about, incredibly, all the public holidays you'll be having. all the festivals and days off that there will be. So there's this big chunk of this last 10 chapters which is talking about these festivals, and it puts the land of the long weekend to shame. Like, there are parties that aren't just a Monday, but go for a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday to the next Sunday. And then there's not just one of those, but there's numbers of them that happen throughout the year. Here is the promise, the inheritance that is being talked about. Wouldn't you, so far, and you like that? Joshua's going to lead us in. There's going to be rejoicing. There's going to be public holiday after public holiday. It's going to be great. But the other thing that's very important, it talks about who will get what broadly, where the borders are and which tribes are going to go to which sort of places. Now, you might think that reading through Numbers is boring. Now, I wouldn't want to say that anybody in this congregation would ever say that. But what if you put yourself in the shoes of those people back there hearing the inheritance being read out and waiting for your name and finding out who your neighbour would be? Now, I would imagine that if you were in a room hearing about an inheritance, you're not going to be sitting there going, oh, come on, let's get this over and done with. It's boring. You'd be sitting there on the edge of your seat, what is coming to me and to my family? What is going to be happening here? Well, there is exactly what's happened. And it's interesting that these 10 chapters are bracketed by this group of women. This group of women are a bunch of daughters of a guy called Zelophehad. Now, it's not a common name anymore, but these daughters and their concerns sort of picture for us what's going on in these 10 chapters. So there's right there at chapter 26... these daughters come to Moses and they say, hey, Moses, the inheritance goes to the sons. Our father had no sons, only daughters. Does that mean we're going to miss out? And Moses goes, oh, I better check that. So he goes, talks to the Lord. The Lord says, no, it's got to go to everyone. So the law is written that the daughters get this inheritance. So they make sure that happens. So that happens at the beginning. At the end of the chapter, at the end of the 10 chapters, the end of the book, again we hear about these daughters of Zelophehad. And the tribe says, well, wait a minute. If these daughters get land, but then they marry someone from another tribe, that land will diminish. And it'll go to that other tribe, and that tribe will have more than this tribe. And it's not that they're complaining that someone's going to get more than them. The concern is that that which was the inheritance given by the Lord to that tribe could eventually be lost. And so, therefore, there is another law written, so to speak, to make sure that no one misses out. Each tribe not only gets what they're given, they keep what they're given. Now, there's the picture. No one misses out. Not one of the people of God miss out on the inheritance that God has for them. And all of this discussion, it's not after they've received the inheritance and trying to work out what to do with it. It's still before they've received. Now get that? This is the language of faith speaking. They're talking about what will happen when we get it, not if we get it. They're not walking away in fear, they're walking toward in faith. This is the language of faith. Now, I don't know, just be worth just pausing for a moment, just asking yourself the question as I ask myself the question. Do I speak in the language of faith or the language of fear? When it comes to the promises that God has made to people like you and me who are in Christ, do I still start to, although I call myself a believer, do I begin to shrink back? Do I begin to feel a little, I don't really want to speak up in this situation, because even though God has said he wants me to speak so that others can hear about Jesus, I'm going to come back. I'm not going to say something. I don't know. There's one example. Does that ever happen? we're encouraged, aren't we, to step forward in faith, faith in those promises of God. Well, as we stand back and we see this whole, not only the whole book of Numbers, but the whole history of the Israelite people in the Old Testament, we see that they actually get into that promised land. God's good. He delivers on his promise. But it's not too long before we find out that the people who enter into that land and receive that inheritance are just like that first generation, and they keep hardening their hearts. They keep putting their fingers in their ears when they hear the word of God. They keep saying, it's not really for me, this stuff. But God is speaking. He might actually have something to say, something worth listening to. So don't harden your hearts, but listen to what is being said. That's why later on in Psalm chapter 95, which is the memory verse that the kids did for us, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, but soften it. Listen to what he's got to say. And when we hear the word of God, and I know that this has happened in this place week after week, the word of God comes to us, and it's a bit like that two-edged sword that Banjo got, although it's a bit sharper and it's a bit more dangerous. Because sometimes we hear the Bible preached or read and we say, that is for me, that word. God is speaking to me today in that word. And it's at that point that you have an opportunity. Will I harden my heart, go home, make lunch, have a sleep, watch TV? How will it change my week to hear this? Will I just let it wash over me? Because all too often, sometimes God's word comes to us through the Bible, through preaching or whatever it might be, and our response is, it was a bit long, you know? Now, nobody's ever said that here, so. But here is what we are. I suppose what we need to say is that, what we need to see is that sometimes the word of God comes to us and we respond rightly, and sometimes the word of God comes to us and we actually harden our hearts. So if the inheritance that we are to receive was dependent on us always responding rightly, we'd be, well, what's a polite way of saying it? Disinherited. We'd be stuffed, really. And I want to say it that harshly. Because if it was dependent on us, it would be hopeless. And this is why we need to keep on remembering that story of Jesus in the wilderness. This is the background to this whole thing. The whole of Numbers is the background of this story of Jesus in the wilderness. Because there is Jesus 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness, like the Israelites, 40 years though, in the wilderness, being tested and tempted, failing, but Jesus succeeding at every single point. And not only does he succeed and is the one faithful and the one who qualifies to enter the promised land, but his death for us is to pay for our unfaithfulness so that we can be right with him and enter that promised land. It's interesting to note that the Hebrew term for Joshua is Yeshua. And when you take the Hebrew term for Joshua and put it in Greek, it's like Jesus. And when you translate that word from Greek to English, it's Jesus. Jesus and Joshua are the same name. Here is the real Joshua who is leading into the real promised land, into the new creation. The Bible keeps saying this: when you trust Jesus, you become one with him. And the way that you become one with him is that God gives you the Spirit of his Son. And when you have the Spirit of his Son, you become a son, or you could say one of his children. But the Bible doesn't stop there. It says, when you believe, you're given the Spirit. When you're given the Spirit, you become a child. And when you are a child of God, you are therefore an heir. You are an heir. H-E-I-R. Inheritance coming to you. But what is that inheritance? What is it that's coming to us? Well, I asked a bunch of people this week, and there was all sorts of different answers. There was, well, maybe it's the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe we get that perfectly, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Yeah, that's a good answer. Or maybe it's living right. Or it was struggling to work out what is the inheritance. And I think the Bible says the inheritance is everything. 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 Our culture has this condition called FOMO. Do you know it? It's a pretty terrible... I don't know. There's a couple of doctors here. Have you had any patients come with the... displaying the symptoms of FOMO? Stephen, any? Can't think of any. Maybe Graham? Graham, any? You don't... Well, you've got FOMO, it looks like. Here comes some water. FOMO. Fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. And this is what our culture does. It says, I'm not going to commit to anything. Because if I commit to something, I might miss out on something better. And so, if you're on Facebook and you get an invitation to something, you now have three replies. You can say, yes, I'm coming, or no, I'm not, or maybe, maybe. I'll see how it goes. If something better comes up, I'll go for that. And that disease has infected church. It's infected Christians. And so what we don't do it in our heads, but we do it in our lives. We say, well, I don't want to take Jesus too seriously. So I'll just keep his people at arm's length because something better might come up and I might miss out on it and I don't want to miss out on it. But if the inheritance is everything, your fear that you might miss out on something will actually be you're going to miss out on everything. So worried that if we follow Jesus too seriously, we might miss out on something good. But the fact is, if we don't take Jesus seriously, you miss out on everything good. And I don't know whether that's the first time you've heard that, or if it's the 51st time you've heard that, but hear it and don't harden your hearts. Soften your heart. What happens is the New Testament realizes this. That promise that God gave to Abraham, that his seed, his children, would inherit this wonderful promised land. What we find out is the seed is not all of his children, but one of his children. And that one child who receives the promised land is the Lord Jesus. Because he goes through that wilderness and is faithful, unlike the people. And when you are in him, when you are in Christ, all those who are in him receive what is due to him, what he has earned, what his inheritance will be. So I suppose what we can say is, you don't have to imagine putting yourself in their shoes as we read Numbers 34 and things like that. You have to realize that Jesus is the one in their shoes. And when you are in Christ, it is about you as well. Does that make sense? To be in him, to be a son, to be a child, is to receive all that he has won for us. This is why Paul, the Apostle Paul, he just says, every day I pray that you will know about this inheritance. Because I'm keenly aware that this is so marvelous, so wonderful, no words of mine are actually adequate to get it across to you. And Paul knows that as well, so he says, I'm going to pray that it gets in your heads and hearts. He says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, I want to finish by saying this is the end of the school year, and it seems that I've heard a number of times these words. It's not about the destination, it's about the journey. Now, it sounds nice, doesn't it? You think, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. It's what the, and I would say, what a load of rot. It's all about the destination. You try this next time you go on holidays. You say to you jump in the car and start driving. And when the kids say, are we there yet? You can say, well, it's all about the journey. It's not about the destination. Now, how's that going to go? That's not going to go well at all, is it? Sit in the car. We're going for a 2-week journey. They'll be writing help on the windscreen, holding it up to other people. Friends, it is the destination that gives the journey meaning. It is the destination that gives you strength in the journey. You know where you're heading. If you're in the Lord Jesus, you know that you're heading to the new creation. And you're not going to miss out. So keep heading in that direction. Don't catch FOMO along the way and be worried about committing too much. Because if you catch FOMO, you miss out on everything. Don't harden your heart. That's why Peter will say, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope fully on the glory to be revealed when Jesus Christ returns. And you and I need to help each other to do that. You and I need to say, to help each other to make decisions about life, the way you spend your time and your money, based on the new creation. Because the more you try to hold this one and try and get as much of this one you can, it's just sand and it just goes through your fingers, doesn't it? Friends, you and I need to walk by faith towards the new creation. We make radical decisions about our life and our time and our finances and the whole lot. Radical decisions. And we invest it in the direction of the kingdom of God. We take up our cross, we count everything as loss, and may this be true for not just our church, but every single person in our church. How is that going to be true for you today? Will you harden your heart? Or will you listen and say, you know, radical change, decision to make. I'm investing in the kingdom and not just in my pleasure, because it's going to slip through my fingers like sand. I'm going to lose everything. Well, which way are you heading? Let me pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us an absolutely certain promise of an inheritance that's far beyond our capability even to imagine. And Lord God, we ask, Father, that you would help us to be struck by, like as the Apostle Paul said, pray that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, that we would see it. Father, please help us as a church, every single one of us, to see that the only way that we make it to the new creation is to be in Christ. And the only way we can be in Christ is to trust him, to hand our lives to him, to know the forgiveness of sins and the new and right purpose in life. Father, we pray that you'd help us to take up our cross. Whatever loss, whatever sacrifice needs to happen, we pray we'd make it gladly, because we are on that journey of faith to the promised land, to the real promised land, the new creation. Lord, may each and every one of us walk in faith and not in fear. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.